One of the Bacharim wanted to give me a little bit of nachas this week. So he pulled me aside and said, come, take a look inside the dormitory, what's going on the walls. I was like, what's going on? He pulled me into the dormitory and he showed me the design for the new Tomo sweatshirt, cap, pants. I think we should be taking pictures of all of them on, you know, then it would really be, you know, what's it called, the official uniform. So I looked at the design and, you know, okay, fine, it's a nice design. I said, well, why is that supposed to give me nachas? So he said, but take a look at the back. Took a look at the back and you see a picture of a lawnmower, and I said, ah, that's what I talked about in Elul. That's what it means, you know, mowed is Milashin lawnmower, we mow you down and now you're ours. So it did give me nachas. But I can think of two other things that I've said over the years which have been called to my attention, I don't know, constantly but repeatedly. One of them is, and people tell me this every year, is that I always make a point to tell people, don't decide to dump your chavrusa on a day that you missed shachris. Why? Because most probably your annoyance at your chavrusa is really annoyance at yourself, and you're just taking it out on somebody else. Things like that always happen. People come back to me and say, yeah, I remembered, you know, whatever, I was having a really rough day, and then I remembered, okay, fine, yeah, I missed shachris for the last 3 days, maybe it's not such a good idea. And the other one is what I want to talk about today. Is that I always make a point of mentioning beginning of winter zman, also summer zman, but it's winter. You know, winter brings with it certain feelings. Summer has certain feelings. Summer, the days are longer, easier to get up in the morning, easier to make it to shachris. The sun shines and we're naturally happier. And in the winter, especially if you're from England, but if you're from England, you're used to that type of weather anyway. The days are shorter, it's cloudy, and we find ourselves a lot of times getting in rotten moods. Things bother us, and we have doldrums in the winter. And that's how life is. Life is a long haul, and there are things that come up, there are annoyances, and you have to play through them. But that's one of the occupational hazards of winter zman. Problems come up, things seem annoying, things don't seem so happy all the time. And it's not just winter zman, really, that's life. And the truth of the matter is that it's a very big issue that comes up over here in the beginning of the parsha. The parsha starts, Eila told us, Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hoiled us Yitzchak. This is the story of Yitzchak. We change the scenes now to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is married to Rivka, and the first scene of the parsha has Yitzchak and Rivka situated diagonally across from each other in a room, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the fact that they haven't been blessed with children yet. Vayetar Yitzchak laHashem l'noichach ishtoi ki akarahi vayyaser loy Hashem v'ta Rivka ishtoi. Hashem answers Yitzchak, in a doima tefilas tzaddik ben tzaddik, tzaddik ben rasha, and they're blessed with children. But then it gets interesting. Vayisraitzitz u abonim bekirba. The children are misraitzitz. What's misraitzitz? Two lashonos. One is milashon ritza, they're always running to get out, to the base medrash, to the base avodah zara. Vayisraitzitz u is also a lashon of quarreling, pounding, fighting, beating each other up. But Toimer and Rivka says, "Imkein lama ze anoichi." Well, what I need this for? But Teilech Lidroish says, "Hashem." She goes to Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever to find out what's going on in her stomach. Take a look at Rashi, and Rashi says, "But Toimer Imkein Godol Sara Ibur." If I would have known that pregnancy is so hard. Crawling on the floor, throwing up, you're always, you know, whatever, you're always in pain. Why would I be davening to get pregnant if I would have known that it's so difficult? I already have a tradition of morning Seder, Chavrusas, V'chumish Rashi. It really started way back with Aidan Breiter, if any of you guys remember who he is, who met him. And then Yo-Yo Grossblatt, and last year I learned with Elio Afrok. Then I stopped coming to Yeshiva for Shacharis before davening. So I started learning with my son Menachem, my bar mitzvah age son, and we learned this together this week. And we had a fight about it. I said, Menachem, this makes no sense. What is she, a baby? She wants to get pregnant so that she can have children, and it hurts a little bit, and she comes and says, oh, this is, I knew what was going on with this. I would never, why did I daven so much? Why did I want to get pregnant? You want to get pregnant because you want to have children. And he said to me with all of his 13-year-old wisdom, I don't understand. I think she's right. It hurts. Which in a certain way, I think that the Nekudas HaMachlekes is the Nekudas HaMachlekes between a younger person and an older person. Or an older person who acts like a younger person, or a younger person who acts like an older person. But the Medrash talks about it a little bit more, and the Medrash says that there's really two pshatim here. Rav Huna Amar Imkein Ani Asid Lahamid Shnei Masar Shvatim. The Medrash says, Lama Zeli. He says, Lama ze anoichi. What does it mean? Lama ze anoichi? Ze is Zayin He, is Lashon 12. If it's so hard to be pregnant, then what do I need 12 shvatim for? Shnei masar shvatim alavai lo yibarti. Minyan ze. So Rivka says, if I would have known it was so difficult, so then I wouldn't have wanted 12 shvatim. And in fact, she doesn't have 12 shvatim. The Medrash is Meirich over here, that really Rivka should have had 12 shvatim. And because of this, she missed it. She lost it. So that's a less popular pshat. But the more popular pshat is what Rashi says, and that's what Rabbi Yitzchak says over here. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Melamed Shehoisa Imenu Rivka Mechazeres Al Pshischeim Shal Nasir. She went and asked all of her friends. Vaymeres lehem higil lehem atzara zeh. You're also in such discomfort when you're pregnant. Imkein hutzara yishol banim. And when she got back the answer, so she says, if that's what it takes, b'halavai lo yibarti. I wish that I would not have gotten pregnant. So the Medrash says it, pshutai k'mashmai. So let's ask ourselves a question. If she lost 12 shvatim by saying, you know, if I would have known so difficult, I don't want 12 shvatim, that I understand. But how could she just come in and complain if I would have known that it's so difficult? Well, maybe there's an insight over here, and really the very fact that she lost the 12 shvatim and what she said really comes from the same yesod and the same idea. There's a famous psychological experiment that was done years ago. It's really true. Did happen. And it's famous because it shows something deep about human nature. Where they took a bunch of school-age kids, little kids, you know, 5, 6 years old, and they gave every single kid there in the class a candy. And they made them a deal and they said, listen guys, you have two choices. You can take the candy and you can eat the candy right now, but then that's it. You don't get anything else. Or you can wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it was, and if you're able to wait for the 5 or 10 minutes, then you're going to get a reward, you're going to get another candy. Now, what's likely to happen? They're real little kids, you know, so of course a good number of them, forget the wait, whatever, you know, in the beginning they're trying, but like it looks so good, and you know, whatever. And finally, just eat it, right? Eat the Hershey bar and forget it. And then there were some kids who were able to control themselves, and they waited it out, and then when the guy came back, so they got another candy bar, a second candy bar. So that's one part of it. Okay, you can get into it a little bit. But the interesting thing is that they came back 20 years later, and they found, or 30 years later, that the kids who ate the candy in the beginning were much less successful in life than the kids who were able to sustain the aggravation and to, you know, hold themselves back. Why? Because it shows character. It shows that not every impulse that I have do I have to go by. Okay, it's hard not to eat the candy for 5 minutes. It's hard not to nosh the chocolate bar. But I know that if I do it, then there's going to be dividends at the end. And Badaku Menusa, that those kids went much further in life because of the fact that they were able to control themselves. They had a deeper character at such a young age, and it carried through, and when they were older, it played itself out as well. But we all go through moments like Rivka Imenu. Of course, Rivka Imenu realized that she wanted to be pregnant. Of course, when she said, Lama ze anechi, I made a mistake, she wasn't saying that I made a mistake davening for the pregnancy. That wasn't what it was all about. But on a very, very deep subconscious level, you could almost say, psychological level, there's always the feeling as, what do I need this for? The Gemara Nidus says is that every Yerledes has to bring a chatos because of the fact that when she's giving birth, she ain't going through this again, right? And she makes a neder and, you know, whatever. It definitely goes through people's minds. Because when there are bumps and bruises, when there are hard times, well, what do I need it for? And if we're less tough, so then we quit. If we're more tough, so then we sustain the aggravation and we realize that this is all part of it. And life goes on. And that's what makes us successful. But I'll add another knech, another nakuda, and this is such a beautiful vart. I don't know if it plays out in the mathematics, but it's definitely true to life. When Noach Weinberg has a gewaldic vart, talking about it, calls the pain-pleasure principle. And he says, you know, it was in the 70s or whatever, and I heard a tape, talking to a bunch of guys, you know, not from Bali Tshuva and Esha Torah, and he says to them, you know, if I ask everybody in the room over here, so what's the opposite of pain? You're going to give me the same answer. And he asked them, and everybody, so what's the opposite of pain? They all say pleasure. He says, you're right, that's the Western answer. He says, but let me show you why that's a mistake and why that shows that Western society is decadent. Decadent is like immoral. Immoral to the core. What's the real opposite of pain? Lack of pain. Not pleasure, lack of pain. Lack of pain is comfort. What's the ultimate comfort? Sitting in front of a TV set, popping potato chips in your mouth, smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer. That's pretty good. Sleeping? Better. Dead? That's the best. Person is the most comfortable when he's dead. So basically what Western man has done is said that the opposite of pain is pleasure, which is what the replacement of death. Death is the ultimate pleasure. We would rather not be. We would rather not be here. The ultimate pleasure is to do nothing and to be comfortable. Now let's look at it the real way. What's the real pleasure? He says to the guys, what's your parents' biggest pleasure? So they all get proud. And, me. What's your parents' biggest pain? Also me. Anybody enjoy getting shot in a rajba? Yeah. It's pleasure. But it's pain. If somebody spoon-fed it to you, you don't get that same pleasure. Play a game of basketball. You play against third graders, and you just beat them 100-2. That's not fun. A joke. Pain! Sweat! Schmitz! I think he said also, imagine someone came and invented a brand new video game. All you have to do is push a button with your nose, and all the aliens just drop dead. How much money are you going to make on that video game? Nothing. No aggravation. No pain. A prerequisite for pleasure is pain. If you don't schwitz, if you don't work, if you don't have those ups and downs, it's boring. So the lama zeh anechi on the Yetzer Hara level is, okay, I'm going to give up. But if you realize that this is part of the process, part of the process is the challenge, part of the process is breaking through the challenge, so then all the doldrums in the winter and all the doldrums that we always have in life are all part of the process of going higher and higher and higher. So this is a very aptly placed parsha, because it comes at the time of year when many of us, it gets hard in the winter, gets a little colder. It hasn't really gotten cold yet this year, but still, days are getting shorter, and it's harder to wake up in the morning, and it's harder to, you know, to be into things. The sun doesn't shine as brightly. But on the other hand, if you realize that that's the challenge, and rising to that challenge is the ultimate pleasure, so be'ez Hashem, all be matzliach. Have a good Shabbos.